Hey, this is another episode of the Brighter Web Podcast, insights on growing your small business using the latest technology and marketing best practices. Hi, I'm Robert.
Hey, I'm Mickey. Good to see you, Robert.
Oh, good to be here, Mickey. So what are we talking about today on this episode of the podcast?
Well, today we're talking about guest contribution. So using guests in different areas to help improve your marketing. But what do we mean by guest contributions?
Well, it's, I guess, a little ironic because we don't have any guests on this show.
Very true.
We're a little selfish. We like to control our marketing. So it's just always you and I on the podcast, which some people may not fully appreciate, but that's okay. We're going to move by that. So essentially, guest contributions are any time that you're being able to share your content on a platform that you don't own. So like a podcast, and we'll get into kind of some more examples later, but, you know, it's kind of like earning media, like kind of getting on public relations, but, you know, not necessarily with the press, not through a newspaper or something like that. It's with another platform that has an audience, ideally that's an audience that overlaps with who you're trying to reach for your business, and you're able to kind of build a relationship with the content creator from that platform and, again, ask them to have you on as a guest of their platform and kind of borrow their audience for a little while.
Gotcha. So you mentioned podcasts. What other kinds of platforms could you potentially contribute to?
The big two that I think of are podcasts and blogs. Anytime you can be a guest on a podcast or you can guest write for a big blog or a big website. There are certainly others out there, really. Any place that there is content being shared, there's potentially an opportunity to be a guest. Some social media accounts allow for kind of guest takeovers and allow you to post kind of stuff, or maybe even, you know, this gets into influencer marketing a little bit, but anytime you ask somebody who's got a big following to post something on kind of your behalf, and usually there's money involved there, or you know, kind of an exchange of goods. So that's kind of more kind of paid media.
It's a thin line between guest contributions and paid sponsorships.
Correct. There's not as much opportunity for just kind of like in kind, like, hey, can you talk about us on your podcast or on your social channel, rather?
Right.
And then maybe even video stuff. Like, you know, obviously there's lots of YouTube channels out there. So anytime you could potentially be a guest on somebody else's video platform, there's another opportunity there. So really, I mean, it's content marketing in general, but the most often and frequent opportunities are for blogs and podcasts.
And I've seen more on YouTube lately too, though. And that's worked very well, because at least in my case, I'm like, a channel I trust brings someone else in. I'm like, oh, this guy's great. I'm going to go follow him too. And I think that's kind of the idea, is you'll then gain your audience that way. And yeah, YouTube seems to be growing in my eyes in that, but that's very anecdotal. So maybe it's just the channels I happen to follow.
Sure. I mean, it's growing in general, so it makes sense. Right. And I mean, the ultimate thing is those content creators are looking for other people. They're looking for other kind of experts on a certain topic. So it makes sense that they would have somebody on their video channel to talk about something. But you also hit on, basically, you're borrowing their trust.
Right.
Their audience trusts them. And if they're kind of endorsing you and saying, hey, by having this person on my podcast or YouTube channel, I'm kind of endorsing them as to saying, hey, they're cool. You should go check them out too. So that's another good way to grow your audience.
Yep. And it's almost like a crossover episode of TV shows in some cases, where I'm like, ooh, I like both of these people, the main podcast or main YouTube channel and this guest they have on. Like, they had Mark Rober doing a piece with the National Wiffle Ball League. You know, he had made these ridiculous wiffle balls, but like, I follow some of the wiffle ball stuff because it's interesting, and I follow Mark Rober, so the fact that they got together was like, this is perfect, this is going to be fantastic. So got me to follow both of them and be more interested even more. So
you know what's funny, I actually watched that video yesterday.
Okay, nice.
There's a little bit of kismet in there, but I actually watched that video yesterday.
Right.
How about that?
Very cool. So what are some of the benefits you get? If you want to be a guest, we talked about it a little bit. What are some of the benefits to contributing?
Well, of course, I mean, if you don't have your own platform, if you don't have a bunch of social media followers or a podcast of your own or a blog of your own, right? I mean, it takes a lot of effort to build up those audiences for those platforms. And so basically this, you know, allows you to stand on somebody else's platform for a little while and speak. And obviously, you know, promoting your content, being able to kind of share it with that audience that's already existing. And you can kind of focus on the content rather than building the platform. Because oftentimes, if you're the one, you know, creating a blog, okay, well, gosh, I've got to create this site, and I've got to write the content, and I've got to find the audience, and I've got to promote every you know, blog post or every episode of the podcast. So if you were just joining a podcast, you don't have to worry about all that kind of stuff.
That's my favorite part, right there.
Yeah. You can just be the expert and just talk about your thing, and then, you know, probably help promote it as well.
But
if you've got a small audience, and that usually is the case, but, you know, you're just joining. You don't have to worry about the production and creation and promotion and all those kind of other things. You're just you're the guest. You get to kind of have a good time just talking about it. So obviously we talked about the credibility, the loyalty, you're kind of borrowing the credibility of that existing podcast or whatever. And that's one of the things that we'll also get into is, especially the bigger the platform is, the more careful they're going to be about that credibility, the more careful they're going to be about, like, hey, protecting their audience and only being very choosy about who is going to come on, because they really, you know, they don't want to ruin the thing that they have if they have a crazy person on their podcast, or somebody who turned out to be lying, or the content isn't very high quality. They risk losing that platform that they've poured a lot of attention into. So those are really the biggest things. And again, one of the reasons why I like to talk about this is because that's often what I've done. I don't have necessarily a blog that I really have built up that big, but I often write guest blog posts on other people's platforms. And obviously I'm on this podcast here, but I'm also a guest and have been a guest, just like you have, Mickey, on several other different podcasts, and like to talk about lots of different topics. And it's kind of fun because I have to edit these episodes.
Right, yeah.
I don't have to edit their episodes.
Yeah, I'm telling you, that's the best part right there. So this all sounds dandy, but what are some of the downsides? This can't be as easy as you're making it sound here.
Yes. So the big glaring red flag with all of this is there are so many spammers out there who are trying to get on your blog. Like, again, we have a blog with Green Melon that we write about stuff. And I think both you and I get, I mean, I don't know, a dozen emails a day from people saying, hey, I can write great blog content for your blog.
Easily,
like, let me get on there. And they're probably just, they've created something in AI and they're just copying and pasting it and just blasting out there. So there are so many people who don't necessarily have the level of quality that you'd want, who are trying to be a guest, especially on blogs. But I'm sure that the case is with podcasts as well. Just say, hey, let me on your podcast and I'll talk about this.
We've got plenty of people that want to be a guest on this podcast where you mentioned we don't really have guests. I guess we might someday, but certainly not from a cold emailed spammer, for sure. It'd be from people we know and trust. So,
I mean, that's the unfortunate thing is, even if you were legitimately, like, you've got something to say, you've got something that you want to write about, and your level of quality is there, and you think you'd be a good connection with this, unfortunately, the challenge is standing out in a sea of spammers who are just flooding people's inboxes, flooding these content creators' inboxes with just nonsense that it's hard to kind of distinguish the good from the bad sometimes. And like we said before, people can be very protective of those platforms. Like, if there is a big podcast that has, you know, 10,000 listeners to every episode, well, they're going to be selective with who they want to be on those episodes.
Oh, for sure.
Partially because that also increases the level of volume of the people clamoring, hey, have me as a guest on there. Have me as a guest on there. And, you know, you may be the perfect guest, but how do they know that? You know, how do you stand out from that, which is a very difficult thing. And it also takes legwork, right? I mean, it takes time and energy to create a good platform, but it also takes time and energy to get on the right platform. So finding what those, you know, the right podcasts and the right blog posts are, creating the content that's worthwhile to be on there, you know, building those relationships with those content creators, like it can take work to actually get yourself in the door to be a guest contributor. But usually the more you're able to do it, it will help build your own credibility as a contributor, because you can say, hey, well, I've been on these 20 other podcasts before, and I've guest written for these other big publications before. And as you're able to do that more and more, again, it grows your legitimacy. And so is other people that, okay, well, we can trust them. We can trust the quality of the content that they're putting out there. And yeah, we'll invite you to be on our show.
There you go. So you've talked about the legwork. You mentioned a little bit of what that legwork is. I mean, being on some shows will get you on others, but of course that requires you to get in some shows first. So what are some things you could do to get started? If you're just trying to get going, want to start contributing on various podcasts or blogs, where do you start?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, finding the right platform. So, you know, which one do you want to be on? Do you want to focus just on blogs? Are you a great writer? Do you want to be on podcasts too? Like, are you really great at public speaking? So which one do you want to do, and which of those specific podcasts or websites that you want to contribute to? Don't take the spammer route and just try to blast all of them all at once and send out 50 emails a day. Like, don't take that method. Find the two or three and, you know, prioritize which one is the most important and say, hey, I'm really going to try to build a relationship with this one specifically. I'm going to listen to this podcast. I'm going to read this blog. I'm going to actually consume the content that they're putting out there, so that when I craft an email to say, hey, I'd really like to be on your show, you can say, by the way, I just listened to your most recent episode and I loved, you know, listening to so-and-so speak about this topic. And I think I'd be very, very similar because I've got a similar background, and I think I can speak to your audience because I've done X, Y, and Z. And like, you can just be a lot more informed. I mean, it's almost like kind of applying to a job. Yeah. Like, this is your cover letter. And if you apply to 50 jobs all at once and you have a copy and paste cover letter, people can tell that. Employers can tell that, and so can these content creators. And so if you're a lot more personalized and you take your time, that comes across in the quality of your connection and communication. You're probably not going to get on every single one. You're probably going to be ignored quite a few times or be just outright rejected, and that's okay.
Yep.
But just take the time to find the right ones, and your level of success of actually, you know, potentially getting on them is going to be a lot higher. So there's also kind of a little trick that I do with blog posts, which is just, you know, kind of find the topic that you're looking for and then put into Google, like, write for or contribute to or guest blog, kind of in quotes, so that it will show up. Because a lot of times those blogs that are really big and that produce a lot of content, they're looking for guest writers, and they will sometimes have a landing page where you can kind of fill out a form to say, yes, like, this is what I can talk about. This is who I am. Please reach out to me if you're looking for guest contributors. And so, you know, searching for that page specifically on their website through something like Google is a good way to look for, again, blog posts that are actually legitimately looking for guests.
Yep.
Versus those like ours that, you know, hey, we just want to have written content from our team. Not that there's anything wrong with any guest writers out there, but just we want to kind of, we're a little bit more exclusive, I guess.
Right.
So we don't have one of those kind of write for us pages on our website. So yeah, that's a good way to kind of vet who's even open to taking contributions versus not.
Right. Yeah. In our case, like with the blog, like, I don't care if someone did a whole custom cover letter to us. I mean, it's still just cold spam in my eyes because it gets buried in all the other stuff. So that's where, yeah, I think two things help. One is looking for sites that are asking for help and you reach out to them, or having a direct connection. If someone reaches out and says, hey, my friend Adam said I should reach out to you about contributing, and said, well, I know Adam, you talk to your buddy, his, like, having connections and actual humans that you know, and references and stuff can help a lot, versus just a email that shows my inbox is going in the trash every single time, you know.
Yes.
Which is unfortunate, but that's just because there's so much spam out there, it's not worth taking the time to try to vet. So the human connection can make a big difference there.
Absolutely.
Too.
Yeah. Get the inside track as often as you can, which kind of fits with my job metaphor, because if you can get a reference from somebody for a job,
right,
it's the same thing. Like, mm-hmm. You know, you get a little bit more in the door and you're a lot more open to actually responding to you if you're just blasting people with nonsense emails. So if you have been, thank you for listening to this episode of the Brighter Web Podcast, brought to you by Green Melon, a digital marketing agency. To help out your business keep with the latest digital marketing trends, check us out at greenmelon.com, and you can find show notes and more episodes of the podcast at thebrighterweb.com.